We heard last week just some of the anger there is out there amongst the public who feel the government should be doing more to respond to the cost of living crisis. Sligo was one of the venues for the National Cost of Living Coalition demonstrations, and as I say, it was more than obvious from those that we spoke to at that protest that times are increasingly tough and that many are not coping.
I'm absolutely fuming, Niall. I'm absolutely fuming. And my kids have to grow up in this, and I would not blame any young person for getting out of this country. There's absolutely nothing to keep any young person in this country. It's an absolute disgrace. It really is.
Well, the Sinn Féin party indicated it would be bringing forward a motion in the Dáil today calling for an emergency budget to deal with the cost of living increases. It's now emerged that the government won't support, surprise, surprise, Sinn Féin's proposal, and cabinet ministers are meeting this morning to agree a counter-motion which will set out why they want to wait until October's budget for any action to be taken. The party's finance spokesperson, local deputy Piers Doherty, joins us now. Good morning to you, Deputy Doherty. Thanks for joining us. Has that taken the wind out of your sails, the government indicating that a counter-motion will be put forward? Was that to be expected?
No, it hasn't at all, because look, the narrative that for quite a while we've been calling on them to act. We've been calling on them to bring forward an emergency budget now for quite a while. They're failing to do so. They've got their heads in the sand today. They've also gone straight. I think they're out of touch with where the vast majority are. There's an opposition party, we're trying to the ante now, we're putting down a motion. We've had some backbench criticising the government's response and saying that there needs to be more done before the summer. So there's a little...
Okay, all right, we're having... Yeah. It's not a great line. We'll try and keep the line going. Not a great line to Piers Doherty. And hopefully you can hear me still, Deputy Doherty. The Taoiseach not of a mind... To support Sinn Féin, or what you've been saying, not only this morning but in recent weeks, saying that October's budget is the most, what he called, the broadest and most comprehensive way to help people get through the difficult few months ahead. You don't agree with that, obviously.
No, because like what the Taoiseach fails to understand is that people cannot wait. People cannot afford to wait. The October budget is 4 months away. People are worried about what's going to happen this week, how they're going to pay their electricity bills, how they're paying their heating bills, how they're going to put their children back to school from September, the end of August. They're worried about what would happen if the washing machine broke down or they needed a new set of tyres for their car. We had Bank of Ireland come out just yesterday with their report saying that their survey shows that 1 in 3 households are finding it difficult just to make ends meet at the end of the week. So while Letitia and Leo Varadkar and Eamon Ryan might think it's okay for people to have to wait another 4 months at least before there's anything done, for a vast majority of people out there, they need action now. And that's why we're bringing forward this motion. They need to see, you know, if they're on social welfare, they need to see those rates increase along with inflation. If they're in lower middle income earners, they need to see cost of living cash payments. If you're a renter, we need to see measures to reduce rents, putting 1 month's rent back in your pockets. If you've got young children in childcare, we need to slash the cost of childcare. If you're a motorist, which most people are, to get from A to B, particularly in rural Ireland, we need to see the cost of petrol and diesel come down, and we need to see the cost of heating your home come down through cuts in home heating oil. These are some of the measures that we're putting forward to government. Yeah. They're possible, they're deliverable, if the political will is there.
Okay, but are they affordable? The government has already taken measures along the lines of $2.4 billion to ease the pressure on people. Is that not more than enough? And if we spend much more, are we not in danger of damaging the overall economy, do you think, Deputy?
So, look, they're very good questions, and let me take them in turn. So, first of all, what the... government's watchdog, an organisation called the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, set up to make sure that we don't have any boom or bust, or that, you know, that we're not sacrificing the economics of the state to the IMF in the future. They basically say that what the government has done since the start of the year is untargeted, that 90% of the measures were not targeted, and that's why the likes of the OECD has said that what the government have done has had little or no impact on those most affected as a result of inflation. So our measures are about targeting at low and middle income earners. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the Central Bank, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and the ESRI are all saying that the government has more scope to introduce additional targeted measures to deal with the cost of living crisis. Why are they saying that? They're saying that because while inflation impacts on the people who are listening to this show, the state's revenue are boosted by inflation. That's why the Fiscal Advisory Council says that of what the government has brought in, they brought in about 2 billion extra on inflation and growth. They only gave back a billion since the start of the year. So every time petrol goes up, the state brings in more money. Every time that food basket that you're buying in your shop goes up, the state brings in more VAT. You know, every time an energy bill goes up, the state brings in more money. So when the budget was announced last year, we believed, or the Department of Finance believed, that by the end of this year, we would have a deficit of about 8 billion euro. The ESRI yesterday, or the day before yesterday, says that deficit is no longer a deficit. We now have a surplus. They believe that we'll have a surplus of about 1.6. So, Niall, that's a 10 billion euro turnaround. That means no more borrowing. But crucially, what it means, and that's why the Central Bank, the IFAC, and the ESRI are saying, yes, you have scope to do more. Let's do more, but let's target it. And that's what needs to be done right here, right now. And it makes no sense whatsoever that the government are deciding to hold back another 4 months.
Yeah, and you know that, and you know about the counter motion. You know what the government are going to say. So, is there any point at all in bringing this debate forward this evening, considering the government's reaction to this? All we're going to have is angry exchanges, disagreement, and nothing changed at the end of this.
No, I think things can change. I think we see the pressure that's been mounted by, you know, people taking the streets in terms of the cost of living mobilisation, like going elsewhere the weekend before last. We're seeing, you know, more and more people come onto the local radios, which is impacting on backbenchers, and we're hearing more backbenchers in the government side speak up and criticise their own ranks for not doing this. And remember, you know, at the start of the year, the government weren't moving on petrol and diesel. We were arguing for the government to do something in this for months leading up to that. We continued to put the pressure, the public continued to put the pressure, and we forced government into acting. They didn't go far enough, but at least they acted in relation to that issue. Now they need to act again. So public pressure, the work of the opposition, can put an effect change. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And these TDs, some of them aren't as out of touch as the government ministers. Like, these government ministers are completely living in cloud cuckoo land if people think that they can wait till the end of the year. You know, it just makes no sense whatsoever. The narrative coming from government is things will be worse in the autumn. As I said earlier, that's like saying to your child that you didn't feed for the last day, you know, look, you're going to be hungrier next week, so I'm not going to feed you this week. Like, it makes no sense. People really are struggling at this point in time. It mightn't be government ministers, it mightn't be TDs, it mightn't be people that are earning, you know, good wages, but there's a lot of people in low incomes and middle incomes, people who never, ever thought that they would be in this situation, are now finding it very, very tough. And that's why government has a responsibility to act. We know we can't protect everybody, but there is scope, there is the financial firepower there, and there is the measures that can be introduced that we have put forward that will support these families in the here and now.
All right, okay. A very final question, Deputy, before we finish. Did you feel you were engaged in bullying the Fine Gael party and Leo Varadkar in the Dáil last week? And do you think what Leo Varadkar did was an act of self-defence, as he has defended his actions in so doing?
Listen, the issues last week that I brought forward, 4 minutes of a speech in relation to the fact that one in three households are now living in energy poverty, and the need for the government to act, according to the report that came out from the SRI that day. Leo Varadkar is obviously a leader of a party that's under pressure. You know, we all know that the background here. He led his party into an election campaign, ended up third. He, you know, lost a by-election seat, which was a safe seat for Fine Gael. So and the polls are obviously affecting where the party is at. So he's a leader that's under pressure, and that's very, very clear. I really don't care what Leo Varadkar says about me. It doesn't really impact me. I want to get back to the core issues. He asked me in relation to bullying. I was listening to a piece on another radio station today about a young lad who was bullied, and I think it's really important for people in, you know, high offices that we understand what real bullying is about. Me holding the government to account, me pointing out that the government needs to do more, me standing up for the interests of people, me representing the people that elected me, and it's not bullying, and people should understand that. That's my job. I'm not going to be deterred from doing that. I'm going to continue where the government needs to be held to account, to hold them to account, and I'm going to continue to put forward the solutions that are in the interest, in my view, of workers and families right across the state. And I would rather, if we just probably stick to the issues as opposed to the personal, because I don't have to go back now. I don't have to go back 24 or 25 years. I only have to look at what's happening right here, right now, and how the government are failing so many families, so many individuals right across the state, to point out that there is better, and that people deserve better, and people can have better through a change of government.